afternoon. Today is Monday, July the 7th, 192nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, yet again, it's not the chief. This is he's sending the captains in.
That's correct. He has other things to do.
Other more important things to do,
I would think so. He went down to San Diego this last Thursday.
This is a reconnaissance mission. The 4th of July?
No, not a reconnaissance mission. One of his daughters had his first grandchild.
Ooh, well, I can't hold that against him then, can we?
No, we can't.
Yeah, unless he stays for 6 months. And then she'll probably kick him out. Joining us this afternoon, Mr. Zanotti, and you brought a buddy with you.
Yes, I did. I brought Officer Corey Watson with me.
Ah, plain clothes Officer Corey.
At this particular point in time, yeah, she's okay. Plain clothes.
Okay, that's just so all the bad guys know. This afternoon, we're talking a little bit about the 4th of July, and also there's a startling, might be a fair phrase, startling or concerning amount of alcohol being consumed by high school age kids. And Corey's got a little bit of information on that and some possible things that you might want to consider, particularly as summertime is upon us. We'll do both of those when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Zanotti. Is it? I know this is probably ultimately non-PC. Miss?
It's Mrs.
Watson. There we go. Okay. Well, I saw the ring. I don't know these things anymore, but trying to be formal. But before we talk, we're going to have our quote of the day this afternoon. It comes from somebody from France that I cannot understand. Marie Chantel. It looks like the mushroom. Okay. Quote, great friendship is never peaceful. How's that for an interesting one?
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, you probably have a good buddy that's not a Giants fan or not a 49er fan, right?
Well, not a Dodger fan.
Oh, you got a lot of people that are not Dodger fans, man. So you a little bit of the old front runner syndrome going on here, huh?
That's correct.
Yeah. So how did the 4th of July turn out, guys? Old Town certainly was there. I heard, now we're, I guess, kind of sort of in the middle of town. Heard the big bangs going on until about 3 in the morning. Didn't hear that many sirens going around, though, so I was figuring probably not too many hurts, probably not too many fires, but I heard a lot of explosions going on after the traditional one.
Yeah, the aerial fireworks or the informal fireworks display went on most of the night in different areas of the town. We had, 25 calls for service that were generated, but you got to remember those are the people that actually picked the phone up and made a phone call. A lot of people just tolerate it, so there's a lot more than that was going on. Quite spectacular, and I'm sure they're of the type must be quite expensive because they're
yeah.
Nice looking.
Well, we were kind of halfway. One of the vistas is over where the high school football stadium is. There were some that cleared the trees. You know, like at 2 in the morning. Don't ask me why I saw it. Calming down the dogs if you really want to know. But seeing these things clear, I mean, it looked like the stuff that was going off over the water, except it wasn't.
Sure. And it's just that, you know, they're nice looking and they're pretty spectacular, but people forget that they are dangerous and they are illegal in California. And not only can they blow your hand off, but they can also start a fire.
Yeah, wasn't there some goofball somewhere that had his two hands blown off?
I think it was down in the Bay Area, San Jose.
Yeah, Bay Area somewhere, yeah. Were there any incidences that you're aware of any physical
not
injuries?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, other than shattered eardrums. There's a reason why they have plugs. What about the Old Town area? Was there a lot of activity? Did you guys have any activity down there?
We had the street festival went very well. Very few problems. A couple of drunk arrests from the local transients, not from the people that were attending. It's turned into quite a family event down there. They opened up another block. They went one block further east, so it went from C to about H Street. With booths, all types of booths, crafts, arts, crafts, food, and other demonstration type of booths. Quite crowded. Charlotte estimates that, Charlotte McDonald from Eureka Main Street estimated that there was probably about 12,000 people there.
Good, so a nice good, today. Nice good turnout, yeah. When you look at that or anticipate some of the activities, what runs through your mind?
Well, basically anything can happen. You know, we try to, base it on what happened the prior year and what day of the week it is. This year we thought maybe being Friday, that was one thing going through our mind, that there'd be maybe some more people attending and more rambunctious types attending, but that didn't happen. And there's we saw no people with open containers of alcohol there, other than the ones, like I said, the traditional, want to call them the transients that frequent the Old Town area.
Now, in that kind of a setting, Tony, you've got, let's say, Bob's, and he's serving food, and he's got other beverages that are there. Is he able to sell beer or wine or not?
No, he's not able to sell beer or wine. The only places that would be able to sell beer and wine are the establishments in that area that already have that license, such as a wine spot is one.
Right, so, but folks cannot go out on the sidewalk with those.
That's correct, for on sale only.
Even if it's a souvenir?
I'm not quite sure what you mean.
You know, the souvenir cups.
It has to be a closed container.
Yeah, okay.
It would have to be a closed container.
So it sounds like it was pretty peaceful, almost a non-police event this year.
Pretty much, but people still like the officers wandering through the crowd, and you get a chance to see a lot of people you haven't seen in a while.
Are there horses anymore?
We don't currently have a horse patrol.
I thought that was always cool. They'd run the horse, walk the horses through, or just have them stand there, so you guys have the view, and everybody comes up and touches the horse. Yeah.
Even the activity. Sometimes the one year that we had the horse there, the officer that was working with the horse had to actually leave because it was just too much commotion for the horse.
Oh, really? Kind of just got a little too fidgety.
Yeah.
Tail switched a little too much. Away. That would make sense. I would think you don't want a horse going crazy. That's that size area. You just have a couple guys wandering all the time, or the perimeter, or is it in through the middle?
Yeah, we had four people on foot, and our one bicycle officer was there, and basically, yeah, circled the area of the alleys and also walked straight down the middle of the crowd. It was at one point, if you were standing at H Street looking down towards C Street, it was just a sea of people.
And there's no truth to the rumor you stole Mike Jones' hat. So you were Uncle Tony for... Okay, good. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Corey Watson and Tony Zanotti. Tony, so with the Old Town in the 4th of July, it was pretty much, it sounds like, his best case scenario. Nobody got hurt. No, nothing caught on fire. Yeah, kind of a pain, but not bad.
Yeah, they in the Old Town area, nobody got hurt, and no fights were reported down in that area. I think people are catching on that bringing their home fireworks down there, their legal fireworks down there to shoot off while they wait for the overhead ones. They've learned to keep that stuff home. And every year it's gotten better.
That's cool. Slowly, surely, but in the right direction at least.
That's correct. Like I said, it's turned into a pretty good family event that is pretty safe to be at.
Anything else you want to talk about before Corey gets up?
No, just I'll lead into Corey. One of the things we did happen about 1 o'clock in the morning, our officers responded to a residence in a residential area, say the southeast portion of town.
Wait a minute. Give me an elementary school neighborhood.
Eureka High School area.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that was a part of town I lived in. Okay.
responded there. I believe every officer that was on duty at that time had to respond there because it was a report of a juvenile party that they estimated anywhere from 80 to 100 people were there and attending the party. And there was alcohol there, and they were all pretty much underage. And that's why Corey is here to explain some stuff about underage drinking.
Wait a minute. 100 kids?
100 kids.
At one party. This is 4th of July night?
That's correct.
Boy, I didn't. Do you guys have any sirens when you were running, or was everybody quiet?
Oh, we were in there quiet.
Oh, okay. Well, this explains
why. But when they see the cops here, they start running.
Really?
Yes.
That's kind of an interesting correlation.
I think that's pretty common still.
Yeah. Well, those who are able to run.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So
those that think they can run.
In that kind of scenario, when you guys pull up, guys and gals, okay, you know, Kay will get me too. When you pull up, is the goal to get the booze, get the kids, get the party sponsors, if there are kids or olders? What's the goal when you arrive?
The goal is to fix the problem. If that includes getting the booze, latching on to some of the kids, trying to find out who was sponsoring the party so that it doesn't happen again, try to get people that we do catch home safely. But the problem is when you got alcohol involved, there's a lot of babysitting time, waiting for parents to get there. Some parents can't be...
inconvenienced?
Can't get a hold of them.
Oh, okay.
So then you have to, you know, if they're drunk in public, you have to take them to juvenile hall. But before you take them to juvenile hall, you got to take them for a medical clearance at the hospital, and that could take a while. So
you're tied up per kid. Time.
Per kid, that's correct.
Does it make sense to take a kid who's drunk to what is now juvie hall and the players that are in there? Or are they segregated?
I'm not sure what the setup is there. I think they keep them segregated as far as their type of crime, and they keep them segregated anyway just until they get sober and find a parent that can take care of them. But our main goal is to see that they would like to get them released to the parents. It's a lot easier, less time-consuming.
Corey, do you work with this kind of activity on a regular basis?
Yeah, when I worked patrol, it was something that I commonly had to respond to. You were
the party girl. Yeah, okay. How often does a party that size happen in Eureka?
You know, they occur more often than you'd expect. Unfortunately, they sometimes get called in as a fight, and sometimes they get called in as people screaming in the backyard and people don't know what's going on. So they can be a little difficult to track sometimes because you don't really know what you have until you get there. And many times we drive up on this house full of kids and they all start running. So
probably a pretty good indicator.
It is, but it could also be an indicator of something else going on too. So you always have to kind of weigh into that, you know, wade into the call and find out what's really going on, determine if it's really a party or something else. So it usually responds a high number of officers or requires a high number of officers to respond before you can figure that out.
Because some of the stuff that Tony was talking about.
Exactly.
Has that party replaced the keggers on the beach, or is that in addition to?
I think it's replaced it. Kegs are a lot harder to get a hold of now, especially for the teenage crowds. It's something that we can track versus alcohol. You can get it from your friend's parent. You can go, you know, stand on the corner and see if you can get somebody to buy it for you. So it's a little more readily available than the kegs used to be.
Is that why we're hearing of a lot of the underage selling? The emphasis on that over the last couple of years?
Yeah, the emphasis there, it has become a much bigger problem in Eureka, that underage selling. And then Eureka's also gotten a grant for the last 2 years from the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control that gives us a little bit of extra money to specifically address those problems.
Is regular guy or gal, do they perceive it to be a problem? If we stop 10 people, let's say, in a store. So do you think that selling to underage kids is a higher problem in Eureka than it is in most areas? Do you think we have a clue?
I don't think so. No, I don't think any of us really know how big of a problem it is. I think parents would say it's a problem. I think anybody with a teenager is probably going to say, oh yeah, I don't want my kid drinking, and they have come home drunk. But the rest of the population, I'm not sure.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Corey Watson and Tony Zanotti.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Corey Watson and Tony Zanotti. Corey, before we went to break, you were talking about how EPD will have group meetings with a lot of the officers on the street and some of these parties that the kids are doing now. As that has kind of evolved, have you guys and gals structured a different system, a different way to handle these, or do you still kind of come through with a with a battering ram through the front door and hope you get a couple of the kids?
Well, we're working on changing the structure, and we're working on getting some more statistics so that we really understand the problem that we're working with. But I mean, generally speaking, our officer safety and the safety of the people at the party are always the first priorities when you get there. So, you know.
That's right. You don't know me that well. That was that was using symbolism. Sorry.
I understood.
I haven't seen the battering ram used in 4 or 5 years now. In fact, I think Zanotti drives with it in the back of his rig. But when you get there, is it try to keep the kids kind of controlled as much as you possibly can, so nobody, you know, 4 kids climb in the car and they drive off and you have that ugly scenario potentially playing out?
Yeah, exactly. Or 4 kids run off in the woods and, you know, get lost. Or, I mean, there's so many scenarios you can run through your head of that. So, yeah, the number one goal is to get everybody to sit down, stop moving, you know, make sure everybody's safe and there's nobody, you know, face down in the toilet or something awful. Because, I mean, that's the other reality of alcohol is if they're passed out wrong, you know, we need to protect them. And that's a medical emergency, so.
100 kids. Now, unless they're each having a shot of beer, that sounds like there's a ton of something being purchased somewhere, somehow, or being gathered for this.
Yeah.
Are the kids able to get access as underage through the various retail establishments that sell? Is it an older brother and sister that tends to be buying? Where do they get the booze?
Our statistics are showing that it's older siblings and parents that are providing alcohol, that there's kind of this misconception that it's safer to drink at home than anywhere else. So then parents will buy.
Well, for one kid it is. For,
maybe. So then you see parents buying and older siblings buying, or older friends even, just older people that are attending the party. I mean, there's been a couple parties in Eureka where you go and there's, you know, 15, 18-year-olds, and then there's one guy who's 27.
Yeah, well, we know why he's there.
Yeah.
Well, then we had that played out in Arcata, tragically, about a year, year and a half ago. That kind of a scenario is, who's at risk? Or who, legally, who is the one who you're going to go after and try to nail to the wall?
Well, legally, we're going to go after the person that bought and purchased and furnished the alcohol to the minors. But then it's also the property owner's liability. I mean, whoever owns that property or renting it is taking on the liability. And California law does address that liability issue. So if you host a party and something tragic happens, then you can be held civilly liable for that stuff and get sued.
Landlords?
Landlords, parents, you know, the 18-year-old kid.
How would a landlord who's out of the area know that that was going on at his house?
They probably wouldn't unless they know the neighbors and somebody told them about it.
Okay, you know, that certainly could happen. I'm just trying to think, you know, not that I own any property out of the area, but, you know, you put it in the rental agreement, but it doesn't get adhered to, they still have culpability.
Yeah, they do.
In this kind of a scenario, as you're trying to work with it, to dummy it down, are there any seasonality elements to it? Does it happen during the holidays? Does it happen during summer? 3-day weekends like the one you guys are referencing, is that more? Or is this just kind of the social gathering for kids now?
I think summer, definitely. School starting with CR coming back into session, usually that those first couple months in the fall, you see a couple big parties. Generally any break or long holiday weekend, we see a party or two. So I think seasonality-wise, it's definitely those long weekends. And we still have those miscellaneous parties just on a Friday night.
So Tony, is this a trend? Have you seen this happen more regularly in the last 5 or 10 years than early on? What kind of experience is saying here?
I go along with what you mentioned, you know, the beach parties and stuff that may have been popular in your younger years and my younger years. And now with the conception or misconception of parents that if their kids are going to drink, they can drink at their house and provide a safe setting. But once alcohol's involved and maybe drugs involved, what was intended to be a safe setting is no longer a safe setting.
Parents are providing drugs also?
I don't have the studies or statistics for that.
No, but you've got experience.
I think that parents are probably providing some drugs, prescription or otherwise.
Or drugs being brought there by other participants.
Yeah, some of the kids bringing, yeah. It would be more than disturbing if the parents were providing, but it wouldn't be beyond.
But I also don't think that the parents are discouraging it or maybe just not paying attention.
Will the parents tend to be there paying attention, chaperoning the event? Or do they go to another part of the house or go out for dinner kind of thing
and let the kids? Couple of big parties, there's been no parents on scene. So the one that Captain Zanotti talked about was no parents were on scene. It was all, I think, between 18 or 15 and 18 years old or 15 and 20 years old.
15-year-olds were attending.
Mm-hmm.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Corey Watson and Tony Zanotti.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students, plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Corey Watson and Tony Zanotti from the Eureka Police Department. Corey, with the underage drinking that is going on, Tony kind of had his gut intuition about what has been experienced. Is there any documentation with this to see the frequency or the age of kids or how often kids are consuming this or consuming that? Do we have a sense of that, or is it still just kind of a gut?
We do have some studies that talk about just the frequency and, you know, amount of alcohol that kids are using. Some of that comes from the Healthy Studies survey that was done throughout all the schools. There was also another, the Health Planning and Development Department for the state does some studies in data collection. I actually work with a group called the Humble Allies for Substance Abuse Prevention, or Humble ASAP, and they've been working hard on collecting all of this data and compiling it just so we can see the extent.
Anything that kind of rocked you on your heels?
There was actually a couple statistics that really surprised me. Alcohol is the leading drug used by teenagers in Eureka. I think the binge drinking statistics were the most impressive. So binge drinking is 5 or more drinks in a row, and 17% of our ninth graders in Eureka report binge drinking in the last month, and jumps up to 30% for our 11th graders.
Now, I would think, I'm hoping, but I'm thinking, that you might get some bravado in that. Oh, yeah, too much. 2 kegs a night, that's me. Was there any independent verification, or was this kids just self-reporting? And
this is all self-reporting from the teenagers. Okay.
So it might be a plus or minus there.
There's probably a margin of error, yeah.
Yeah. You're a 3 kegger, aren't you, Tony?
Not even close.
Now, alcohol, you said, was the number one abused substance.
Yes.
More than marijuana, more than mom and dad's prescriptions or whatever that might happen to be.
Alcohol is still number one.
Are you seeing an increase or a rash of prescription? I've heard some of Stefan's younger friends are saying that that's the big thing now, is that the kids are taking prescription medications before school or after school or whatever to get whatever magic comes from those. Does your experience reflect that?
I don't have the studies on it, but I do know that, you know, prescription drugs are still fairly readily available, and there's a lot of campaigns out there to try and reduce that stuff and try to get parents to get rid of their prescriptions so they're not available. But yeah, I think prescription drug abuse is still rising. And it's been on the rise for a couple years now.
I don't think anybody can get too high on my cholesterol pill.
Hopefully not.
and if so, if it helps them, God love them. So what would you, we used to talk about the little guys, lock the lower cabinets, put little locks. Is that the recommended for alcohol? If you have alcohol in your house,
you need
put it under lock and key?
You need to control it somehow. I mean, if it requires you to put it under lock and key, then yeah. But you need to pay attention. I mean, you need to know how many beers were in your fridge and if the kids are sneaking them out, and address that problem early on so that we don't see this type of binge drinking and high alcohol use. It's dangerous.
Probably aren't suggesting buy 25 cases of beer when it's on sale and leave it in the garage.
Probably not. But if that's what you're going to do, then make sure you count those 25 cases and have some consequences if they disappear.
If you've got a kid who has that tendency at that age, mm-hmm. let's say mid to late teens, what do you suggest? You're talking about fundamental things that should have been in there when they were, 8 and 9 years old. Are there places to go? Is there information? Is there counseling if you want to do, family counseling, things like that?
I think that there is, I'm sure, around here a lot of available options. I mean, counseling is something, it depends on, a lot of your circumstances, but it's certainly available around here. And I know the schools have a lot of information, and if you wanted to, you could contact the Allies for Substance Abuse and Prevention. They work with all the different aspects of, substance abuse, alcohol, drugs, all that kind of stuff to help prevent it. There's many local youth groups, especially through the schools, that work, a lot with the anti-DUI programs and stuff. So,
and you get that information off your guys' website, or are there links, or?
I can probably make that available on our Facebook site. Get that stuff to our PIO, and then
new stuff there somewhere.
Yeah, and then you can look up Humble ASAP on, I think it's humbleasap.wordpress.com for them.
So it's not HASP.
No.
It's too easy to get Zanotti just busting up here. Oh, geez. Well, hopefully things will be a little calmer, and particularly if some parents start paying attention to what their kids are up to, make things a little less statistically viable. How's that?
Yeah, and we've also got this other ordinance that we're working on. If you have a couple more seconds.
Nah, we'll have to talk about that next time. Thanks for coming by, guys. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.